The Around the NFL Podcast still hasn't found what it's looking for.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with heroes. Different heroes. Mark Sessler, you know Mark Sessler. Greg Rosenthal, you know Greg. But we have a returning hero. Her
you
name is...
You don't know? Listen, yeah, I was going to say, don't they know?
Well, I'm, you know, just back off, right? I'm doing my best here. Everybody knows who she is. The laughter alone. That is Lindsay Rhodes, NFL Network's own, one of the faces of our network. Lindsay, welcome to the podcast.
Hey-o.
I like
have
that.
Some happy music or something, Zach. That, I mean, I was expecting that.
I kind of like Lindsay's hey-o better than Wes's hey, man, or hey, Dan.
Hey, Dan.
Wes is on the bricks. Number one, not even here today. Sitting in Wes's seat.
He knew, you know, I was coming with some dating advice.
And with some Tebow heat.
Okay.
Step aside for this one.
There has been, since the last time Lindsay was here last month, Wes has, there have been some overtures online toward Wes about, you know, we're trying to get Wes a girlfriend. But most have been out of state, except for this one, like, little Manson-like cult that seems to like Wes. That's good. So, you know, we're moving in the right direction.
That's your categorization of what it is.
But
fair enough. I think a number of them are not even in the United States. So he's attracting spread a wide net.
I'm just trying to, you know, keep the normal flow of the show going. I did get some feedback about Lindsay's last appearance. When someone heard that you were going to be on the show today, they said, well, try not to have them act for the first 5 minutes like they just got invited over to the cool girls table at lunch in high school. I said, wow.
What does that even mean?
You know,
how does one act?
This is an indirect way of Greg propping himself up because he wasn't part of that show.
I said that was the best show we ever did.
Well, I don't like where you're coming from with that.
I'm just saying. I don't know where it was either. But
see, Lindsay's like, what are you talking about? It was a great open with Lindsay last time. This time, even better, I would say.
Hey-o.
All right. So we got a big show. Lot to get to.
So big.
You would think, by the way, it would be slowing down at this point. But maybe the names are not as big, but there's still a ton of news to get to. So it's going to be, for the fourth straight show, very news heavy. We're going to bring back the speed round because we got no choice but to bring back the speed round. And then if we have time, we're going to get we're going to touch on a piece that Mark Sessler, the Quiet Storm, wrote called Remaining Free Agent Questions.
You read that, Dan?
Oh, what a piece.
You so did not read it.
It was tremendous.
Didn't even read it.
So we'll get to that if we have time. If not, Mark, you cannot take offense to it. It was just a time issue.
All right. That's fine.
You can take offense.
March
to
on.
Whatever you want.
I'd be offended already.
I don't like the way it's been set up.
Yeah.
But
it's really important. Stick around. We might cut it.
Yeah. It's probably the first thing to go if any sort of interruption occurs.
It's a running joke that Dan compliments our pieces when we know for a fact he's never read any of them.
Accurate. No, inaccurate. Totally inaccurate. And Lindsay, you'll be happy to know you work on the TV side primarily, of course.
Hosting Total Access today.
Yes.
All week or just today?
Just today.
Okay.
Our flagship program here on NFL Network. Lindsay's going to be talking about Tim Tebow for 60 minutes straight later today.
Not entirely.
Well, okay. But we're going to get to Tim Tebow.
The over under 45 maybe.
Wow.
You know, Siciliano
downstairs, he was like, Tim Tebow and the A's and B's and C's and D's. Like, they, you know, it's Tim Tebow heavy. Whenever we get a chance to talk about Tebow, we will. Of course, across the sports spectrum, typically. Not here. We're going to get into it a little later.
Yeah. We've got big Matt Schaub news to get to first.
Yeah, that's our indie cred. So let's get into it. Let's start. Let's do some news. Gold Standard back behind the glass again. Always great to see you. Second show in a row. TD might be getting nervous.
No, never. Again, just the backup here, just backup QB.
Do you buy into this at all, by the way, Greg?
What, the just the backup bit?
I'm the clipboard Jesus of podcasts, let's be honest.
You're way better
than that. What is TD's excuse? He was just downstairs like 12 minutes ago. Just wasn't feeling it today. Wasn't feeling it.
How would you like it, Lindsay, if your producer just, you know, disappeared randomly at times, slid in the backup?
I feel like that does happen.
TD is Matt.
There's a revolving door.
TD is Matt Castle right now, and you're Teddy Bridgewater.
Oh, I love that.
That's a good place to be.
I love that.
Let's do some news.
Let's do it.
All right, so like I said, we haven't been on since Thursday, so we got a lot to get to, maybe stuff that happened over the weekend, even on Friday. And let's start with something that went down in Miami. The Miami Dolphins, who earlier in the day, I believe, acquired Kenny Stills from the Saints, the speedy wide receiver for Ellerbe, and what was it, a
third
round pick. So that made it very clear that Mike Wallace and the Dolphins weren't going to be together too much longer. And later that day, hours later, in fact, Mike Wallace shipped to the Vikings along with a seventh-round pick. They get a fifth-round pick in return. And I'll start with Greg Rosenthal. Greg, obviously, this is Mike Wallace, the jewel of their free agency run 2 years ago, now a salary dump.
I mean, that's how bad teams stay bad teams, that they dump their big money players from a few years ago to sign more big money players like Ndamukong Suh, and we'll see if that happens 2 or 3 years from now. Not that I think Sue's a bad player, but just a monster contract. I like the move, though, for Minnesota. You get rid of Greg Jennings. They released him later in the weekend, and you get Mike Wallace, who's now not going to be expected to be that kind of number one, or at least he shouldn't be. He's more just like a deep threat. You give him Bridgewater. I like it.
I mean, Norv Turner, if anyone, has shown that he can work with, you know, wide receivers with questionable work ethics. That happened with Josh Gordon in Cleveland. But Wallace, Cordero Patterson, I like the pairing right there. You've got Kyle Rudolph still.
Do we?
You forgot about your boy, Charles Johnson.
Charles Johnson, who we called heads and tails the best wide receiver in Minnesota. So there's some weapons at least.
What about, Lindsay, the idea of bringing, willfully bringing Mike Wallace into your building, even at a cheap rate in terms of the trade? You still got to pay him a lot of money. And the last game he played in, he pulled himself out of the game. You want that guy in your building?
Well, if he can take the top off of defense, you know. I mean, ultimately, right, that's what all the coaches,
right,
that's all they care about at this time of year. They think that they can fix the attitude problems and stuff like that. And if you can help us on the field, then we'll see if we can make it work. And he's got a better deep ball quarterback here than he did in Miami, so maybe we'll be able to see those skills play out better than we did.
That was the thing about Ryan Tannehill was, I love Ryan Tannehill. I've been driving the bandwagon, especially early in his career. We were just talking about it. But he's maybe the worst deep ball thrower in the league, and he's got a guy who only does vertical routes. So you put Wallace in a better situation. I don't think there in Minnesota there's going to be this expectation. We know he's not going to be Calvin Johnson or some guy that gets 1,400 yards every year.
All right, moving on. So Kenny Stills now enters the picture in Miami. And Stills, Mark Sessler, is a guy that has a lot of upside, you would think, right?
I think it's someone, again, it's the fit. Can Miami make the most of him? I don't trust a whole lot about Miami bringing in a deep threat to replace a guy that they couldn't make work before for just the reasons we talked about with Ryan Tannehill. But Stills, you know, has all the talent, but just hasn't really shown that he can put together a real productive 16-game season.
It wasn't bad last year, 63 catches, 931 yards, 3 touchdowns. But there were whispers that maybe Drew Brees wasn't a huge fan of Kenny Stills.
I mean, that's what is strange about this whole thing.
Well, they weren't whispers. There was a lot of chatter about
that. There
was
a report that basically Brees wasn't a big fan of Kenny Stills, wasn't a big fan of Ben Grubbs, the guard. So, like, who's making the decisions here? Brees?
Did he like Jimmy Graham?
I don't know. Well,
he's dressing his child up in Jimmy Graham, you know, garb. So in theory,
that wasn't calculating at all.
Dan has a kind of he doesn't like the moves Drew Brees.
Drew Brees is one of the
media.
Only guys I feel weird even writing negatively about, because I feel like there are people watching you if you write negatively about Drew Brees. I find him to be a deeply under the radar, powerful guy that can have you disappear if you get on the wrong side.
He just sort of nods his head in your direction.
Yeah.
People show up.
Be
in
done
suits
with him.
And
Dan vanishes
from the building.
I feel like the NFL would side with Drew Brees over Dan Hanses in any type of issue, I would think.
I think so. But I think the same, it kind of goes along with this whole, I don't know if they have a plan. They're just making like emotional decisions just to make them. They're trading away guys they don't like. Now they're selling it as some sort of, okay, now we're focusing on defense and running. I guess that's the plan. But weren't they thought their defense was great last year. Weren't they focused on defense last year? It's just, it just seems like an organization kind of just firing bullets and seeing what happens.
Well, they've got salary cap situation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right now. So maybe looking to dump a little salary, get a bunch of draft picks and
I guess
bring
you want to dump some salary. How about trade Drew Brees out of the building?
Everyone keeps, that's the question, by the way, for some reason on sports talk radio now is like, are they going to trade Drew Brees? Like,
who would do that?
I don't know why that would be the question. We talked about it too.
Well, Mark wrote a whole piece about it.
Well, no, here's the thing. They have two first-round picks. They've got 5 picks in the top 80 selections. Drew Brees is 36. I'm not saying that you go and move a franchise quarterback because there's no one else you can bring in. But it's a chance if you could get two or three picks in the first round over the next couple of years for Breeze. If you want to just blow up the machine and rebuild the Saints from the ground up, you could go Jimmy Johnson, Herschel Walker trade with that. You have four or five number ones to work with over the next couple of years. That's how you change a team. Or do you cling to Drew Brees for two more years?
Is that where they're at, do you think? They're in blow up the franchise mode?
I mean, it sounds like from what we've heard from NFL media insider Ian Rapoport, that everyone's available.
It feels like to me, though, if you make all these moves, and we'll also get into they signed C.J. Spiller, and they added him to their backfield. But it seems to me that if you keep Breeze and his, you know, massive contract, and despite the fact that he's in his mid-30s, it's kind of a half measure. It's like either like go all out and try to build around Breeze and get back to the Super Bowl, or you blow it all up and you start with all those draft picks and you do it. Try to do both at the same time. I feel like that's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, I'm not saying I think they're about to do it, but, you know, if someone were to call up with a monster offer, I think they would listen. I don't think other teams with a franchise quarterback that are sitting at age 30, 31 were not. He's 36 years old.
But then what do you do at quarterback?
Tom Brady, I mean, if they thought that with Tom Brady, they wouldn't have a Super Bowl title last year.
But Patriots didn't spend last offseason retooling the entire – there is something weird is happening in New Orleans. That's the sense I get that I wouldn't have said this ever about Breeze a year ago. But maybe you get into that number one pick overall. Maybe you send Breeze to Tampa Bay, somewhere where you can – get a quarterback.
Do you think that Winston or I guess that's ultimately the question for a lot of teams right now, but the Saints too, if you insert them in this equation, do you think that they are your franchise quarterback? Do you think that they are a long-term option in this league?
That's the risk, because if you ever give up a guy like Breeze, you could spend the next two decades looking for him, but is he going to be there 4 years from now?
I mean, that's a recipe to kill the franchise.
Yeah.
Because not only could you fall in the standings, but you know, Mickey Loomis never has a job again in his NFL career if that goes wrong. There's a lot of ownership issues right now with the Saints. I don't know if you want to be putting all those season ticket potential renewals on the line, because if they trade away Drew Brees and they don't get enough back and 3 years from now they stink, I mean, that's an organization in all sorts of trouble.
Well, it's
one
risky.
Thing to do that with Peyton Manning when you've got Andrew Luck coming.
Sure. Yeah, they don't have a backup plan, so that's probably what nullifies it. It's just – he's not young. Mm. He didn't have a great season last year compared to in the past. So you're saying, Dan, put him in a Tony Romo situation.
They do have a McCown brother just hanging around. Maybe go with Luke McCown.
I will say this, though. They took away his best passing option. They traded Stills. But you figure they have something up their sleeve through the draft to try to replenish their passing game.
A good wide receiver draft.
Yeah, very good wide receiver. C.J. Spiller and Mark Ingram in the backfield, yummy.
It's dangerous.
That's tasty.
I mean, you have Brandon Cooks, you have Marcus Colston, you have the two running backs. It's weird. It was surprising to me Spiller got, I think, more guaranteed money than Mark Ingram did. So that would seem to indicate that they're going to be splitting the carries. It's not going to be Wes's boy, Mark Ingram, just getting the ball 500 times a game.
Lindsay, I know kind of on a sneak attack, I asked you if you wanted to come on the pod today. So you might not be ready with my nickname yet. You said you were going to have a nickname for me.
Oh, that's right.
But
I forgot to think
undoubted
about it.
Undoubtedly, she spent all her
time. It's got to be better than your self-titled nickname, the old Zeuser.
The old Zeuser. Wait, did you just say you forgot to think about me? Because that's not cool. I thought it would be the opposite. Couldn't stop thinking about you and the nickname scenario. I'm surprised. I'm disappointed, though. That's it.
You're good at freewheeling here. Let's just come up with it right now.
No, I want this to be special. I want something that will stick.
Thought out.
You know, what are you looking at me for?
I think your hair should be part of the nickname. So right. I'm trying to come up with something while staring at your hair.
Well, I'm not asking you though, Greg. This is about Lindsay. This is the thing that she put it out there.
Give me more notice next time that I'm coming on, and I will make sure to have thought about it a lot.
All right, that's good. That is a compromise.
As our producers know, there's no advance notice at all.
Very, very limited.
I told Zach, hey, can you run upstairs? We're going to do the podcast right now.
I just have to think about you around the clock, just in
that's
case.
That's the way it works.
That's how Dan would like it to be for all humans.
That's my wife says the same thing. She's like, she thinks that I always expect her to always be thinking about my needs.
I guess it's
translating here.
Yeah, as your manager, I think I felt that sometimes. I know Mark knows he has to think about you a lot as a friend.
This feels like it's turning against me.
Yeah.
Okay, moving forward. Here we go. So Percy Harvin agreed to a one-year deal with the Buffalo Bills. This is worth roughly $6 million. I would say if you, according to Rap Sheet, I would say if I had to make a list of the biggest surprises in free agency, I'm pretty surprised that Percy Harvin's market was so cold. So cold that he had to go, speaking of cold, to Western New York and sign a one-year prove-it deal. I'm stunned. How about you, Lindsay?
I was wondering if you were going in a joke direction.
I was trying to take
it. His market was so cold.
Yeah, I know. I was
thinking. And then you just,
you
know, played it straight.
How cold is it then?
Yeah, exactly. I was waiting for the punchline. You're surprised that he didn't have
more. I'm very surprised that he didn't have a warmer market here because it's cold in Western New York. All right, I'm still working on it.
There you go. That helped
Thank
out.
Thank you.
That helped out a lot.
No, but we're surprised, right?
Quarterback.
I am. We were sitting around the desk, and Charlie Casserly was there all week last week. And Wes and myself and Charlie all guessed like how much Percy Harvin would make. I thought he would be up like $8 million a year for a couple years. Charlie nailed it. He guessed about five and maybe only 1 year, and I'm surprised. Like, why wouldn't you want on a one-year deal? I don't think it's that much of a risk, Percy Harvin.
I mean, you figure maybe people in Seattle are talking.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah. These guys talk to each other.
People in Minnesota.
So
he didn't work out in those places for a reason.
Four teams in 2 years now.
Clearly, there's a lot of upside, but there's also a lot of baggage that comes along with that. It's interesting that he went to Rex, though.
Yeah, see, that's a vote of confidence for his character.
Well, they've spun it that way, and I mean, it's fair enough.
It's interesting to me, too, that he didn't do much at all when he was with the Jets for eight games last year, but I guess it's a new situation up in Buffalo, so.
Hey, if you can get E.J. Manuel throwing him the ball, who knows what could happen.
I know.
And in that regard, it seems like a little bit of a risky proposition for him to go there on a one-year deal. He's got to prove himself, and
it's a tough place.
He doesn't really have an established quarterback to do that with.
I don't think he had options, I guess. I mean, there was some interest from the Patriots reportedly and the Browns, but if they were offering anything better than 1 year, $6 million or whatever it was, I'm sure he would have taken it.
Well,
Browns and the Patriots were offering worse.
I mean, he's talked about wanting to not be a gadget player at this point. He wants to prove that he can be a plug and play, you know, three down wide receiver. Well, he's never proven that. He's moved into hired gun territory at this point, where he's a one-year guy time after time.
But
I don't think Buffalo's a bad place landing spot for him with Greg Roman there, though.
First of all, you call him a hired gun, but this is different because he's just trying to find a job rather than a hired gun like a Revis, where you're picking the destination, signing a one-year
deal.
Well,
that's a hired, like, Death Star weapon.
Right. He got a one-year deal for less than what Brian Hartline once got a multi-year contract for, like, per year.
He took a $4.5 million pay cut. And by the way, mark my words, a bit of a Sessler here, by the way. And Lindsay, just so you know, Sessler is a prediction that you see in a mystical sense. Sessler. I have a bit of a Sessler here that we will get an unhappy Percy Harvin bubbling out to the press by week 9.
And that's why I think enough people
usually
presume that'll be an issue.
A little more, you know, out on a limb.
I know. Well, you know, he was a good boy, though. He was a good soldier in New York. He never had any issues. The Jets even put that out there to the press that he was a good guy in the time there. But I just think he's not going to get the ball enough. He's not going to have a great situation. The quarterback situation's a mess. It's just a bad place for him, I think.
As long as he gets the ball in a situation where he can succeed when he does get it, I think that's ultimately all that matters.
I love Percy Harvin on a one-year deal where he's still trying to make that money and get that contract that he's trying to get.
That was him last year.
Sure. And he, for the most part, well, once he got to New York, that was him. Once he realized that he wasn't going to have that contract necessarily forever, and he was fine in New York. And you look at that team, if they just had a quarterback, that's a big if.
Oh, forget it.
It's an unbelievably talented team on both sides of the ball. So I think if I had to pick who's the most dangerous team of the AFC East, other than the Patriots, you know, to take out the Patriots, definitely the Bills.
Well, here would be my concern. This year, I think it's going to be a wash for them because they don't have the quarterback. But let's say this quarterback situation puts them in the tank and they go 4-12 and they're high in the draft next year. They get a first-round pick. Tommy Boy's getting old. He's going to be out of the picture soon. But if the Bills ever landed a young quarterback in the draft, oh, my God, the Jets. My Jets would have problems. The Bills are well set up for success if they get that quarterback.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But the NFL moves too fast. Like, this is their window, I think. They have some young players, certainly, but their defense is great now, and they have Rex just starting out now. I kind of see
Maybe
Rex.
They should go get Breeze.
Ooh.
See, listen.
Tasty.
They don't have a number one, but they've got future number ones. Someone's going to get desperate. Just watch.
I can also see Rex kind of as a not the Percy Harvin of players, but a kind of coach, maybe like a Larry Brown, who almost has that honeymoon when he first gets to a team and like gets them going for a couple of years and then it flames out. It's like, this is the Bills' time.
Also known as his Jets career.
Basically, yeah.
We don't need that, Mark. Moving forward, let's talk some Houston Texans. A little talking ball, Houston Texans style. Two veteran signings, like them both. Vince Wilfork signs a 2-year deal with the Texans, leaving the Patriots after a great 10-year run. Two rings there. They also signed former Jaguars wideout Cecil Shorts, a guy that has some upside, just 27 years old. Greg, I'll start with you on this one. What do you think of both signings?
Well, it's tough to see Big Vince leave, but it makes sense. Romeo Crennel is there, and they have that position. You stick him next to J.J. Watt. If that means basically you can only send one defender at Vince Wilfork, he's going to stop the run. He was still a pretty good player last year. He was just paid a lot of money.
Played a ton of snaps. I like the addition of Shorts, too, because that fills a huge need. They absolutely needed to get a wide receiver with Andre Johnson out the door. And he's obviously had injury issues, but when healthy, he's been a very solid number two type guy. I think they don't have a real number one, though. I guess DeAndre Hopkins is the number one.
Have we already forgotten the last time the Texans signed a universally well-liked veteran player coming off a Super Bowl win?
That's a good point, Mr. Ed Reed.
Ed Reed. That didn't work out as well. This smells a little bit like, because the Belichick and the Pats, they know what they're doing. That he could get to Houston and the wheels can come off for Big Vince, who we love, and we love Bianca. But I don't know. I don't know how much he has left in the tank. I like the Shorts move a lot better. That's all.
Well, the conversation's similar to the one we just had with the Bills, right? I mean, unless you get somebody in their quarterback position.
It is. It's a similar. It's a 9-17.
What's up with Damashek downstairs, by the way? Damashek talking up Ryan Mallett, like Ryan Mallett is the solution to all the issues in the world. I mean, they seem to believe that he could be a guy, but Brian Hoyer is getting paid more money than Mallett. Is that correct?
Yeah. So well, it's a longer contract, too. Yeah.
I mean, if Mallett doesn't beat out Hoyer, that's bad news, but I don't know.
But those are both names where you're saying, okay, now we have a quarterback.
Mm.
Not like we have the quarterback.
Mm. Right.
They'll both play, too. Like, we're going to see both, you know.
But it's tough for teams like the Browns or Texans. I mean, it's like you can't stop trying to improve the rest of your team. The Texans did pretty well with Wade Phillips and that defense dominated, I guess, relatively well. You got to hope that Bill O'Brien can cook up a little bit of offense. We didn't really see that he could do that. I mean, I think Wilfork, and you mentioned Bianca, that's a big addition. The whole community.
I love Bianca.
The first family of the NFL. I love the Wilforks. I mean, he's not a big fan of punctuation. We talked about that before.
No,
he kept that going with his tweets today. Just long sentences.
It's just
not what he's being hired for.
He knows he's a good speller, clearly, and his thoughts, they come out well, and you understand what he's saying. But then, you know, where's the commas? Where's the periods?
No commas, no periods. He thanked Bill Belichick, said that, you know, Linda Holiday, Belichick's girlfriend's part of his family.
Hello.
His sons are part of his family. Yeah, someday he'll be in the Patriots Hall of Fame. But this year, he's going to be playing against the Patriots. They play against Houston.
Are his your and yours –
no, those
and
are
there
good.
And theirs. Mm,
that's
okay.
The thing.
I don't care about the commas or the periods as long as your and yours is correct.
No, he not only that, he's against even I'm putting an apostrophe into that. He's just
got some block and tackle rules down.
It's subversive.
It's more, you know, mysterious elements outside of the basic grammar stuff, but good for him.
Does he capitalize?
Well, sometimes.
Right? If you don't do punctuation a lot of times, I'm is also lowercase.
True.
That's fair.
Gold Center, you're the smartest man in the room right now. This
highly
guy,
helpful.
He graduated, Lindsay, early from Oxford.
No.
And
that's
just
true.
Look at him. His brain, his skull, that skull barely
wait,
contains
and he's gonna
that
go
brain.
To another big, I mean, he's going overseas for another big-time post-grad program. We're just a
what
little.
What are you doing here?
Exactly.
I'm enjoying myself. This is great.
Yeah, exactly. This is his vacation.
We're his plaything.
Goes back to the real world.
But anyway, as a genius, it must bother you when people don't use punctuations.
Not even a little. I actually love it. My favorite thing is when people just break the 140 character limit by taking screenshots of like longer pieces of text.
Kind of smart.
Yeah. Vince has just disrupted the game there. So
yeah.
I like it.
Let's move on now. Thank you, Gold Standard. You know, you don't have to be bashful about being a very intelligent man.
I'm not, but it's very nice. No, I mean, I'm not that intelligent. This
speaking of love connections, Lindsay, once when Zach used to be our regular producer, about a year ago, a female fan called in on the show to ask Zach out, and they had a conversation, and I don't know if you ever got together.
It never happened.
Yeah.
Missed connections.
He basically shut her down.
No, I wouldn't say that. She it was a long
very
distance
nice girl.
Thing, though, right? She was in New York.
Yeah, she very, was like in the valley. It was way too far.
Did so you like fly out to see her, or was there any more?
No, we, you know, just we could have Skyped it out, but it just didn't work.
Did you have this conversation on the air?
Yes.
We did.
Okay. I was going to say, otherwise,
as
you are going to remain the backup quarterback in
right.
that scenario. if you as a producer don't see the value in that.
Right. No, no, no. That was okay. definitely made for podcast.
Yeah,
right.
there are some Steve Young shades with Gold Standard as a backup podcast producer.
That's kind.
All right. So, by the way, Greg, Mark, let's talk about your boy, Ben Roethlisberger, who signed a five-year, $99 million deal, can escalate up to $108 million. With the Steelers, so everyone knew he was going to get a deal done to stay in Pittsburgh, but they make it happen, they get it out of the way, and you got to deal with them in the AFC North for another five or so years probably.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like the contract is late coming after all these other quarterbacks that sign these, you know, lucrative deals. It's totally worthwhile. I've always felt like he's, bar none, one of the toughest quarterbacks in football, and, you know, at growing up as a tortured Browns fan, man, this guy just will not go away. So good for Pittsburgh, but I mean,
let's be honest, you were pretty grown up by the time Ben arrived. You were in your 30s or something.
This is like when you said you were listening to Montel Jordan at high school dances when you
right.
were really
young. No, I'm just saying.
Some listener did the math, and Mark was actually like 32.
Mark fudges the dates
Montel
of his age.
Jordan.
No, you look back on that draft, and Cleveland had a chance to take Big Ben, and they took Kellen Winslow.
No.
Both had terrible motorcycle accidents. Ben walked out like a robot uninjured. Kellen Winslow out for multiple seasons. So, you know, I think anyone in Cleveland has to look. Big Ben came from Miami of Ohio. So it's always
Don't
been a bit of a star cross. No, I think it's just the Steelers. This is where, remember, they couldn't find a quarterback before
right.
Big Ben. And they were this team that would float from 6-10 seasons to 9-7 because they didn't have that guy. They've been on the map every day since they drafted him. Other teams in the division cannot say that.
Well,
I'm being very controlled about it.
No, I mean, it's like me if I get worked up about it, if Bill Belichick didn't fax the resignation letter and he was the coach of the Jets. But I literally try not to think about that kind of stuff because it hurts too much. Ben Roethlisberger, Greg, you are, that was a joke calling Roethlisberger Mark's boy, but you are a big Ben fan, a big Ben fan.
Yeah, and this is the time of his career. Everyone said he was going to start struggling because he didn't have the mental side of the game necessarily, and maybe his body was going to start breaking down a little bit. But he's coming off one of his best seasons, and everyone killed Todd Haley for a while, but he's coming off a season with 4,900 yards. And I think Brady and Manning, and they've kind of rewired our minds for how quarterbacks are going to age because Ben is 33. And usually you would be thinking he's kind of hitting the downside at this point, and you wouldn't want to give maybe necessarily that big money.
Yeah.
Lindsay's shaking her head at me.
No, I'm shaking my head that...
She's disgusted by your point.
No, I feel like it's a valid point. That
oh, okay.
I don't see him breaking down anytime soon. I feel like he's got several years left in him, and I don't know how much that has to do with Manning and Brady playing
right.
so late into their career, but you're right. There's no anticipation that he's on the back end.
It's weird, too, because every other position, it still is that same thing. Once you get past 30 and edge to 31, 32, you're kind of staring
down the
barrel.
You don't
get the
big money.
Well, not even that. You're staring down the barrel at the end of your career. You're not the same guy you were. But in the last, 10 years or so, the quarterback position has changed in terms of how these guys last. And a lot of these guys, you're still flat in the middle of your smack in the middle of your prime at 35, which you cannot say about any other position really in any other sport. It's
kind
of interesting.
Kicker, yeah.
Pittsburgh
you
also.
Count
I mean,
that though.
There were years where Big Ben was getting crushed behind that line, and they've done a
now.
Better job with that.
Good
and
talent around him.
Yeah, they finally like. I think that they restocked that offense where it's not him having to do everything by himself on every play, and with Le'Veon Bell in there. I mean, this is a Super Bowl type team, and there's no reason to think that he couldn't play another 5 years.
How crazy are these contracts for quarterbacks, though? Like, that this is the norm now.
Hmm.
That if you are
right.
and I'm not calling Ben Roethlisberger an average or okay quarterback. He's clearly one of the better quarterbacks in this league, arguably top 5, 6. But if you are a better than average quarterback, you're making $100 million.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And
then, you
absurd.
Know, if you look at baseball, their contracts, and you think about it, it's like he's only making the same as the number 4 starter on the Indians or something like that. I mean, it's like they deserve it. It's better than giving Byron Maxwell $10 million a year. You know what I mean? There's a lot of players getting $8, $9, $10 million a year that are barely above average starters. So why not pay the quarterback?
And they talk about it. It could change very soon with Russell Wilson's potential contract where it's $16 million guaranteed per season, somewhere in that neighborhood. That will blow the doors off the way that quarterbacks are valued.
Well, you know what I first thought about when this contract came about was the moment when there was a lot of talk that Ben Roethlisberger could be traded from the Steelers after his legal problems in 2000. When was that? 2008, 2009? I really can't remember off the top of my head, but I remember covering the story. And no one really wanted Ben Roethlisberger necessarily. And if someone had stepped in at that moment, they could have had him, potentially, you know, if you believe the reports that were out there.
Right.
And the Steelers were ready to let him go, and now here he is. You know, he's the face of the franchise. Everyone's kind of forgotten that all ever happened, and they were smart to keep him.
Well, he did the work from a PR standpoint at the very least.
Sure.
He seems like a totally different person.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's like these guys are young when they hit the league, and he was the archetype of the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback going out. I mean, you talked to Damashek about some of the stuff that was happening in Pittsburgh. Well, that's not happening today.
Mark, he's turned his act around. He's a great guy. I feel that. You agree, it looks like.
Listen, whatever. More power to him.
All right. Moving on. Reggie Bush. The Reggie Bush hype train has rolled into San Francisco. NFL media insider Ian Rappaport reported Saturday that the running back reached an agreement with the Niners. This makes an interesting backfield in San Francisco. 30-year-old Bush, along with second-year running back Carlos Hyde, as Frank Gore goes out the door. Your thoughts, Lindsay Rhodes?
Well, we'll see if he can beat out Hunter or Hyde and how he fits into that mix.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe
he
is
can stay healthy.
Maybe he's at the point of his career where that is where he's at, that he's just competing to play, essentially. I think he has a chance, though, to help them. Why not?
I still think Hyde is who they're viewing as the guy who's going to lead. They'd want to lead the way with carries big time, and you use Bush in certain ways. But Lindsay said it. Like, I mean, in Detroit, the problem was you couldn't count on Reggie Bush week to week, injury-wise. I mean, is he as durable as he was?
They're not going to ask him to be the lead guy anymore, which is good. It's probably the first time in a while where he's maybe the first time almost ever since his early Saints days that – I think everyone knows going into the season he's not going to have a monster role.
Right, and we're already seeing, because it was kind of a low-key signing, that you're not going to get the off-season of puff pieces saying how he's going to transform the offense and become the guy that we thought he was going to be coming out of USC. He's just kind of a guy that could be a helpful piece, I think, if he stays healthy. I think he could do something there.
Those occasional flashes.
Yeah,
I mean, he had those moments last season. When he was healthy, he really did.
He's hardly a bum or anything. He's a good player. He's just never going to be the guy that people thought he was going to be. The Niners' offense, by the way, Greg, what do you think about where we're at right now after everything that's happening around this team, what this offense looks like to you? Are you excited about it at all?
It's strange. I'm more worried about the coaching than anything. Because overall, you look at what they've done this offseason, they lose Iapati, they're going to lose Crabtree. But you get Torrey Smith, you get Reggie Bush to help replace Gore. It's not like I think they're not talented. They have a good quarterback. I'm more worried about the fact that they're just promoting up guys that were already in the building to be their next coaches. Like, so these guys are just the guys that weren't as good as their last coaches, I guess. I don't know.
There's a strange sensation to the 49ers where I don't think it's going to be easy for them to remove kind of the film of the Harbaugh era until they actually win games, because it's hard to buy into what they've done until they go out and they're 3-2 or 4-1 to start the year. If they started opposite and they're 1-4 and some of the problems that the whole point was we got to bring someone in to fix Colin Kaepernick, right? So you just promote someone that's been working closely with Kaepernick all last season. That's a hard sell to, I think, your fan base, who's wondering, wait, why did you also just let this schism with Jim Harbaugh break up what was a great thing in many ways.
They're also wondering, why am I paying $18 for a glass of wine at this stadium?
It's another really fair question.
All right. Speaking of the Detroit Lions, Bush's former Lions teammate, Nick Fairley, is no longer in Detroit. He is now at the St. Louis Rams. He signs a one-year, what they call a prove-it deal, $5 million, with a chance to reach up to $7.5 million with incentives, according to Rap Sheet. Wessling wrote up this post. Who knows where Wessling is right now, by the way?
He said he's reading.
Reading. Where?
He's having a good day reading.
He's on the phone with a flawed woman.
Oh, flawed.
Ooh, I like that.
Or reading about a flawed woman and research. I feel like he's researching part of his
Do
reading.
Do people still talk on the phones with other people?
Well, if you're, you have to.
I mean, you make calls to like would in this Wesleyan scenario, could he possibly be talking on the phone to like a girl that he doesn't know that well?
I think you got to be talking to people on the phone. If you're single, you're gonna have to make a couple phone calls.
Or at least
it can't
FaceTime.
All be happening on IMs with no face to face interaction at all, Greg.
You're probably right, though. I bet there's a lot of texting involved prior to the first date.
Yeah.
Not really much phone combo.
I just feel like by the time, my kids are my age, it's like, I don't know if people are going to be talking on the phone. It's already kind of becoming passe, just talking on the phone at all. How many long conversations do you have on the phone at this point?
I openly judge, unless you're my mom, who doesn't really get it at this point. But, like, if you're leaving voicemails at this stage, come on. No more voicemails. It's over for the voicemail. The phone call's still kind of in the mix, but really it's a texting world. FaceTime's good, though.
I got viciously dumped in fifth grade for being way ahead of the curve and never calling this girlfriend I had in fifth grade. Mm. And her brother had to call me up and say, do you know how this works? You're supposed to call my sister like once
it's a good brother.
Every couple weeks. And I was like, I honestly did not know I was supposed to do that. Dumped the next day. Hmm. But
kind of a creepy brother.
Yeah, why is the brother giving you advice the day before you get dumped?
I don't know. I had a babysitter at my house, so I'm like, I'm operating in so many different. It's like I'm not an adult. I have people telling me
weird.
I should be calling.
It's like if you really want to get busy with my fifth grade sister, here's
whoa,
what you got to do.
Whoa!
I don't know
whoa.
If that's what this
10 years old.
Was.
Greg.
Whoa!
10, Greg.
This is a family podcast.
Little inappropriate on your part. You're also our supervisor, so we look to you for guidance.
So anyway, so
we just learned a lot about Sessler, by the way.
We
just learned a lot.
Well, he was a Lothario in middle school.
Bio?
Apparently not.
Background there?
Mark peaked as a ladies' man in about 11th grade. I think we've talked about this before.
I don't agree with that.
Okay.
I do. I mean, that's when I peaked, was high school.
That's your narrative.
Yeah.
Dan tried to paint me that way. That's not...
So I brought up Wes initially because I just wanted to mention what he wrote about Nick Fairley, which said when he's motivated and in shape, and that's important with Nick Fairley, he's one of the most disruptive interior pass rushers in the league. But he also, Wes called him highly inconsistent, prone to ill-timed penalties, and an off-the-field risk. Which explains why teams were reluctant to commit to a long-term deal. But now you add Nick Fairley to a St. Louis Rams defensive line that was already pretty nasty. Very nasty, and the Rams have something cooking if Nick Foles can do something.
That defense is sick, right? I mean,
yeah.
Put him alongside Donald and Brockers and Quinn and Long, and that's a list of names I like a lot.
That seems to be their strategy. We will just get 15 or 20 defensive linemen in here and come in third in the NFC West. Hopefully that's good enough for a wild card.
That's not a bad strategy if you can't. I mean, it's hard to find a quarterback. I mean, they had the number one pick in the draft and drafted a quarterback, and even that didn't work out. I mean, this is probably the next best strategy.
This is
say.
It, by the way, because Les Snead, everyone loves Les Snead and Jeff Fisher, and they've been able to coast with a bunch of 7-9 seasons, 8-8, because people like what they do in the draft. But this is the year with the Niners in flux and potentially taking a step back. Mm. The Rams got to make a play. The Rams got to win 10 games this year. Rams got to get in the playoffs and be a team that's actually in the rise and not just one that is an offseason darling that never actually does anything.
At some point, yes, the Jeff Fisher might have to carve out another winning season to avoid 10 more years of criticism because he's friends with everyone in the media. That's going to have to happen.
Fairly to the point, though, that you made about when he's motivated, or I guess that Wes made in his article.
But I took credit for it.
He came in at 280.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like right now he is motivated, has something to prove, and is in shape.
Yeah. Wasn't it something with him last year that he was like 290 or he was at some weight at the beginning of the offseason, but then the next time he showed up, he was 40 pounds more.
Yeah.
But then when he showed up for training camp, he was like 30 pounds back down.
This is when you have to worry about it. The Rams don't have to worry about it probably. But the team, after he has a great year with the Rams and he signs a 4-year, $37 million deal, that team's got to worry.
You're going to get the yo-yo dieting Nick Fairley.
Right, that's why I love this one too. I like the talented kind of knuckleheads for a lack of a better word.
Well, you love you have a whole roster of the guys with poor character and work ethic.
That's right.
You love those guys.
Well, work ethic, that's another issue. But if you're going to win free agency, you do it on these cheap one-year deals. You don't do it as the team, like you said, that signs the next big-time deal. The Antonio Cromartie back to the Jets deal. That's what you don't want.
Okay, buddy. Moving forward, let's talk a little Cowboys. We know DeMarco Murray is now a member of the Eagles. They have at least replaced DeMarco Murray in part by signing Darren McFadden, the former Raiders running back, who a deal on Friday worth up to $5.85 million, a two-year deal. I don't imagine, Lindsay, that this is going to be the solution for the Cowboys, right? They're not just going to say, oh, now you're going to be Darren McFadden that we all thought he was going to be 4 years ago. They're going to get more than this. Right?
Yeah, I'm wondering if they watched him play right. the last few
it's
years.
It's a fair question.
I mean, you're right. I don't see this as the answer at all. I think that they're just kind of they're searching.
It's a sign that Jerry Jones is still making decisions, because
very Jero move. It's like Darren McFadden, perfect.
Yeah, I mean he went to Arkansas.
You're right.
It's a chance for Jerry Jones to remind everyone that he played college football at Arkansas too. It's like all those guys are gonna turn out to be great.
Yeah. I mean, okay, good for you. You stand your ground and you say, here's how much we're willing to pay you, DeMarco Murray, and we're not going to go a dime over it. And sorry, you're going to go to Philadelphia. And now we're going to have to spend that much money or more trying to fill your spot with a bunch of other signings. They're going to have to go draft a
running
back.
I think that's all we're hearing is that they are, you know, heat-seeking one or more running backs in the draft. That's still a risk.
And Adrian Peterson is hanging out there, too, as another potential option.
With an outrageous contract.
In Jones's defense, like, they didn't give him much guaranteed money. It wouldn't shock me if Darren McFadden didn't even make the team. I mean, they have Joseph Randall. They draft a couple guys. Who knows? Maybe they've been connected to Stephen Ridley. Maybe they sign Ridley, too, as another guy who's just trying to make the team. So it's not. I don't really think
Darren, I'm sorry. It just didn't work out. Get off my bus.
But, I mean, you're talking about replacing DeMarco Murray with a bunch of guys that you're like, eh, maybe, I mean,
yeah.
come
right.
and try.
Right, and part of it is, like, replacing that one guy with a committee of guys. Part of it was when Murray got into the flow early on last season, he was unstoppable. I mean, you walked away from what was a winning formula.
Well, you know what you don't like to do is go into a draft knowing you need to find a starter at a specific position.
It's not, no.
And I can actually remember an exact example of this with the Dallas Cowboys, where they had to get a starting running back in the first round. And they either chose not to take Steven Jackson, I don't remember, or he got taken before them, and they went with Felix Jones. I'm pretty sure they actually chose Jones over Jackson. They said, this is our guy, another Arkansas guy. And, you know, that's kind of what happens when you need to find a starter.
And it was Barry Switzer who convinced them to take DeMarco Murray.
Mmm.
Tasty.
Switzer.
Hey, let's talk a little Cleveland Browns, Mark. We'll start with Jordan Cameron, who's no longer associated with the Browns. He signed with the Dolphins, a two-year, $15 million deal. This is after we thought we saw reports that he was going to be staying with the Browns, but then actually the deal wasn't official. Ended up a member of the Dolphins, and he gets some, from what we're seeing reports today, some pretty good guaranteed money, I believe $12.5 million, which seems a lot for a guy with serious concussion issues. But also the upsides there. Mark, how upset are you that Jordan Cameron's no longer in Cleveland?
Well, I think that's a lot of money for a guy that might be last year missed a major amount of time because of concussion issues and feels like one of those players, sadly, that might be one more head injury away from it being over potentially. You just don't know. I mean, you don't want to plan for your players' careers that way, but the Dolphins gave him a lot of scratch, and I don't have a problem with that deal not going Cleveland's way.
How about Browns adding Randy Starks and Tremont Williams, two signings that went down on Monday? They seem that though you can get behind those a little. It's been a down offseason for the Browns. We all know that. Bad news, more bad news. But these are nice signings, aren't they?
Yeah, I think they're both good players. I mean, I wouldn't have minded getting them 3 years ago.
I think they're good second wave of free agency guys. Like,
right.
Those were kind of two people we had circled. We had them pretty high up in our rankings. It's like, okay, now that the first wave's by, those are good values. You know, you might be getting Dwayne Bowe. Got to get excited for that Dwayne Bowe, Brian Hartline.
Now, go for
up
it.
The field,
but it does.
Jogging up the field.
Speaking of jogging, you're going to the owner's meeting soon, Mark, right?
Yes, that's true.
Last year, Lindsay, you should know that Mark and Greg went, covered the event, and then it came out, came to light that they went jogging together in the park.
I was wondering how you were going to tie those two together.
Yes.
Speaking of jogging.
Well, yes. It was a delightful day, and we actually.
In the park.
Yeah, and it was in Orlando at this massive complex.
Park.
No, it was like a running path for,
around
you know.
Hotel.
I was like, we'll never be at a hotel like this again in our lives.
It was a crazy, groundbreaking development for people to jog together, to run together. That's never happened before.
Yeah. That's where you're going with this. The fact that we're describing what you did as jogging instead of running.
It was
running.
Does that have
I just like
I think it's fair to call it jogging.
I like
the running.
I like Sizzler and the Boss. First of all, I want to know whose idea it was, and then
it was
the other
my
person.
Idea.
And then Mark was like,
idea.
"Well, geez, my year-end review's coming up. I better go."
Well, we also along fair. The way, if we had not done that, we passed Anderson Cooper jogging right by us. So it was like a
yeah,
you know,
true.
It was a lot of
all the
right,
big
so star-studded jogging.
Let me get this.
Scenario.
So it was you, Anderson Cooper, and Greg all in the park jogging. That's good. That's a sounds like a nice little, sounds like a good event.
How do we differentiate between jogging and running?
I think what we were doing was I'd be hard pressed to call it running.
You were like
well, we were
walking
running.
Quickly
well,
but bouncing
we
at
running.
The same time. I don't.
No, we were running. We were doing whatever 9 minute miles or something. It wasn't that crazy.
You guys are just.
I just want to know who
great
says
athletes.
Let's go for a jog anymore. That feels very 80s.
Yeah,
like you
it does. Well, that's how
right.
Dan categorized.
You
got
to put the Rocky you know. Music in the background. You both put on a pair of sweat
it is
pants.
The best thing. And I, by the way, I found it to be the funniest thing ever. And then the Twitter people on Twitter also found it to be quite amusing.
Yes.
But this year, Greg staying behind,
right.
Connor Orr and Mark going to the owners' meetings.
Right.
Will you go jogging with Connor
no,
Orr?
It's in Phoenix. It's probably like 108 degrees. I'm not sure I will even go outside.
Gotta
the
be,
entire
yeah, you gotta
time.
Be mindful of your body. That is
you could example. You could jog next to each other on a treadmill.
Oh,
that's very possible.
That would be cute.
I mean,
would that be
I don't
weird
think
if
we
Anderson
can match.
Cooper showed up?
I don't. Yes, that would be very. I don't think we can match. You know, the overall scenario that was presented last year when Greg and I did that.
All right. Hey, let's talk about the.
You were his first.
Yeah. Always. You always remember your first.
I pushed it.
All right, so there is a team in the NFL, I've been told this, in a pre-production meeting called the Tennessee Titans. Tatuns? Tutuns. I'm not sure. But they are a team, and they made some signings of notable NFL players, outside linebacker Brian Arakpo, formerly of the Redskins, and Derek Morgan signed with the Titans, $30 million for Morgan, $32 million over 4 years for Arakpo. It's a lot of money. They also reached contract with Ryan Succop. Oh, my goodness. There's all sorts of stuff going on in Tennessee.
Fasano, Parrish Cox. I mean, I only – we put the news together today, and I wanted to make sure the Titans were in there just so you'd have to eat some crow that this
who?
Is a real NFL team, Dan. And in 2015, you're going to have to start recognizing them as that.
I'm not trying to be a jerk about it, but just, you know, get on the grid before I, like, recognize that you're a team. That's all.
Well, they're trying to. I mean, they are throwing a lot of money – had a lot. Parrish Cox got a lot of cash.
Lindsay, be honest. When next year, when you are doing around the NFL, and it's the Thursday that the Titans are on NFL Network, what's your excitement level? Because they're definitely not going to be on any other network, so they'll put them on our network.
You are setting me up here.
I just realized no one.
What can she
right
say?
No one
harness.
Above the second floor of this building listens to the show. You can say anything you want right now.
It's a trust tree.
It's a trust tree.
I think every NFL game has plenty of reason for excitement.
Okay.
There
that's
are lots of storylines to watch, always.
That's why she's
you know,
one of the faces.
This is why Lindsay will still be here in 2016, and the three of us may not be.
If some other team, if the Patriots made these moves for the Seahawks, everyone would be like, ooh, great bargains on pass rushers or whatever. So, you know.
But they're not.
They're young
so
players.
Won't.
Okay.
All right, here we go. So, finally, here we go. Let's get to it. It's going to be a major topic on television, but right now it's ending the news. Tim Tebow worked out for the Philadelphia Eagles on Monday, according to Rap Sheet. Tim Tebow, of course, has not been in the NFL since August 2013 when he was cut by the Pats. Hasn't thrown a touchdown pass since his days with the Broncos. Had that washout of a year in New York with the Jets. So he has a workout. We then had a update on this. We got right before we came upstairs that the Eagles have no imminent plans to sign Tebow following the workout. So it seems to be something Chip Kelly just, you know, basically doing a chippy thing and being, I can do whatever I want. I'm going to bring in old Tebow, kick the tires, and see what happens. Your thoughts, Lindsay?
You had some hot takes before we started. You were fired up. You were excited to talk about Tebow on the show.
Well, no. Well, okay. I didn't mean.
Don't twist my words.
I didn't mean it like that. No, I'm in this particular case, because it's the Eagles, I think it's a valid conversation. If it's anybody else, then okay, yes, it's just we're throwing Tebow's name out for the sake of throwing Tim Tebow's name out. But because Chip Kelly, during this offseason, has essentially said, hey, all of you other 31 NFL teams, I'm going to do it totally differently. All of the moves that he's made this offseason, and really since he entered the league, but then he sort of reinvigorated that thought process this offseason with the way that he's treated free agency and such. It makes this a little bit more interesting because it feels like Chip Kelly saying, hey, I've seen what he's done in the NFL, and I think that I might be able to fix it, potentially. I think that's what makes it interesting because I don't think there are very many teams in the league that would bring in Tim Tebow for a number of different reasons, even for a workout.
There was a report in the Boston Globe last week that he had been training with Tom Brady's personal coach for the last 2 years, and apparently the coach was confident that he now knows how to throw a football.
That is scary.
Yeah. But that wasn't the only – it wasn't the fact that Tim Tebow couldn't throw spirals or had an awkward windup. It was like he had,
hey, what do you mean? Why is it scary?
He's played in the NFL for 3 years as a quarterback.
Now
like the sales pitches. He knows how to throw a ball now, guys.
Yeah, I mean, it was always the accuracy, and he never carried himself like a quarterback on any level. He just had some big moments, and it took off culturally in a really bizarre way. It still feels like a fever dream, the Tebow mania thing. But this guy was never a real quarterback.
No, and even Chip Kelly said it a few years ago, when talking about quarterback position, saying, like, we're not going to have that kind of quarterback that can't throw like Tim Tebow, essentially.
I mean, right,
I'm twisting
Tebow.
The words a little bit. But
we are not a Tim Tebow type of quarterback team. I'm not going to run my quarterback 20 times on power runs.
That was his quote.
He said that back in 2011 while he was the coach of Oregon, but it just showed kind of where his headspace was at and what he looks for in a passer.
He was trying to make a statement there, too, that he wasn't going to do what everybody thought he was going to do when he came into the NFL. But I think it's interesting. I mean, at the very least, I wouldn't sign Tebow if I was an NFL coach, because even if you thought, okay, here's a look at his specific skill set, and maybe I might be able to use him in a package here or two, all of the stuff that comes along with that is a nightmare.
Is it worth it?
And I think the answer to that is a resounding no. Mm. And if you're Mark Sanchez, are you like, dude, can I just play with my friends? Can you leave me alone?
That is another.
It's
that
like
is an
the
interesting
nagging
angle.
Little brother follows him around.
I mean, poor Mark. He deserves better than that. But it doesn't look like it's going to happen.
How about being Matt Barkley? There's a report that, you know, he's now on the trade block, that you're the guy that's on the trade block while they're trying out Tim Tebow.
Well, and
that's
why not? Because he's not shown any evidence of being an NFL starting level
or that Chip Kelly
quarterback
is
either
too into him, other than he did draft Matt Barkley, but he doesn't seem like he believes in him too much.
I don't have a problem with Tebow getting a tryout, though, especially after sure. like he's working and working. So many junk quarterbacks get off-season tryouts that it's not like he's below that line. And honestly, I think Tebow has he has more athletic gifts than a number of guys that were on rosters or practice squads last year. It's a little strange that he didn't even latch on anywhere in any capacity, except for the exact reason you mentioned, the baggage that a lot of clubs probably just don't want to deal with.
Well, but if he really wanted to play football, he could go play football somewhere. He could play in the CFL. He could play in the AFL.
Yeah.
But he's
hanging out in L.A.
Good Morning America, right? Is he on Good Morning America?
He's working for the SEC Network for ESPN. Right. But he's also, I think he's based in L.A. right now. He's enjoying being Tim Tebow.
Right. Which
we shouldn't shed a tear for Tim Tebow.
Which totally makes sense, and he's doing other stuff off the field. But, if he wanted to, like Kurt Warner said it, I'm taking his bit, basically. Like, if that was your dream in the world to be a quarterback, it's like you could go play quarterback somewhere.
But at point being, he did just spend months and months working out to improve, where that ship should have sailed if he really thought this thing's over. You know, I haven't played in two seasons. He does seem plugged in to some degree to want to make a comeback. I just think that the window for him versus another, even a guy like Josh Freeman, may even be thinner because of how many.
Freeman worked out. Who did
Freeman
work
worked
for?
Out with the Jets. It's like that guy you would think is going to get no looks, but even he's getting looks, so anyone could. Dan, you could probably go try out with one of these teams if you really, really wanted it.
I will. All right. Can we stop talking about Tim Tebow now?
If you let's go on.
All right.
It's your topic.
Oh, what's this?
He's a playmaker. And a shot caller. In case you didn't know, I got T-boned. He shattered the mold. And all he does is win.
Sorry, I just had to do that.
That is apparently a collection of what, Skip Bayless?
Yep, yes. Skip Bayless quotes Grace. On Tim Tebow set to auto-tune. Yep.
All right, that's all right. So let's now go to our speed round. Good job there, Goldstein.
Hey, thanks.
Indulged you a little bit there, but we like
it
so much.
It.
Let's hit the speed round. Lindsay, here are the rules of the speed round. It is we're going to fly through about 8 topics, 1 comment each.
Oh, gracious.
And
we've struggled with this in recent shows.
Struggled Wes, who we love dearly, is a man who is very he likes to get his thoughts out. So he struggles in the speed round.
Windy.
One sentence, that's it. Now, we've been playing the Benny Hill music for the speed round. But
I like this better.
I thought it's time to change it up, change the energy in the room.
Yes. Yeah.
And Darude, Sandstorm, feels like it would do it. Are we ready? For the speed round, Lindsay Rhodes.
I'm feeling a lot of pressure.
I know. This feels like it's a rave in 2001.
Lindsay, have you ever been in a club dancing to Sandstorm?
I can't say I have.
Okay. I don't know what this is.
Here we go. Starting the speed round. Wait, want to start at the right moment.
It's a really slow start to the speed round.
Dan's the worst DJ.
We're waiting.
Ever.
Wait for it.
This is where you got the glow sticks just going nuts.
I have another show to do in a few minutes.
There we go.
Sorry.
Christian Ponder signs with the Oakland Raiders. Mark, what do you
Don't
think
care.
About that?
Don't care at all.
Does he have a future?
No.
All right. Lindsay, Matt Schaub cut by the Raiders. Is this the end of the line for Matt Schaub?
No, because everybody needs backup quarterbacks.
Yeah. Tell me where he signs. Tell me. Speed round.
Hair club for men.
There you go.
Redskins agreed a 4-year deal with Chris Culliver, Greg. Seems like a lot of money, $32 million for Chris Culliver.
I like these Scott McLuhan moves that they're making, bringing the old 49ers.
All right. Greg Jennings released by the Minnesota Vikings. Mark.
Will find another job, sure. I mean, he's someone that they'll bring in as a starter. Will he last past August? We'll find out.
All right, very good. Lindsay, Rams bringing back Kenny Britt on the 2-year deal. Had a nice bounce-back season last year. Smart to keep him in the building?
Someone's got to catch the ball.
All right, Steelers signed former Panther D'Angelo Williams. Anything in the tank for D'Angelo, Greg?
No, I think he's going to have a LeGarrette Blount-like Steelers run.
Michael Johnson returns to the Bengals on a 4-year deal after a huge bust season, Mark, in Tampa. Nice move by the Bengals?
Yeah. Safe. I mean, he had a good season a couple years ago, but bad tape last year.
And finally, Greg, Rex Ryan, Bills signed QB Tyrod Taylor. Get you excited?
It gets me excited that they're saying Tyrod Taylor has a chance to start. Enjoy that, Buffalo Bills fans.
Oh, my God. And that's it. That's it for the speed round. Special thanks to Darude. And special thanks to Lindsay Rhodes for sitting in
speed
for a second.
Me out.
Yeah, it is. I mean, yes. It turns up the heat. It feels hotter in here now. But that's what we have to do in the speed round.
Do we not owe like hundreds of thousands of dollars for just playing like a minute and a half of that song? Sorry.
Lindsay, thank you very much. You have to go over to the TA.
You have to go tape a real show.
The flagship program of NFL Network where you'll be hosting today. So thank you very much for sitting in.
Next time I come back, nickname.
I'm excited.
I'll be thinking of you.
We will be, and that's important. That is the most important thing. Greg, you should take note of that as well.
I think about you a lot more than I used to.
I'll take it. I'll take anything I can get.
Would you like to go jogging?
Jogging. All right, so we'll be back on Wednesday. Wes will be back in the chair. Thank you for listening. This is Dan Hansis signing off for The Quiet Storm. Lindsay Rhodes, the boss, and the gold standard behind the glass. Until Wednesday.